T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Your phone call is welcome at 869-1330. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Ah, oh, Dave, you had to do that to this music, didn't you? Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can also listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. I'll bet you $5 my guest hangs up, just to let you know. And make sure you like and share the John Whitmer Show on Facebook. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at John R. Whitmer. That's the best way to stay informed on all the latest show updates, the Pennsylvania Polka. You couldn't find better intro music than this. Thanks. Days after the election, Pennsylvania was still counting ballots, and Republicans were caught in the crosshairs after earlier this year the Pennsylvania Supreme Court allowed mail-in ballots to continue flowing in after the November 3rd deadline, usurping the legislative process, which, of course, is nothing new. Kansans are used to having their Supreme Court usurp the legislature and rewriting Pennsylvania election code. Joining us now to discuss what's been going on in Pennsylvania, is Greg Tufel. He is the founder of OGC Law, based in Pittsburgh. Greg, thank you for joining us this evening, and I'll apologize in advance for my producer's choice in introductory music.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
We should have brought out the terrible towels or something for you. So, Greg, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court directed that voters received up to the, that votes received up to 3 days after Election Day be included in the count. And this was contrary to the statute that required ballots to arrive by Election Day, correct?
That is correct. So Act 77 was the statute you're referencing, which was about a year or so ago, was enacted by the PA legislature after years of bipartisan negotiation over every detail of it. It instituted widespread mail-in balloting in PA for the first time. They set a deadline of 8 p.m. On Election Day for the ballots to be received. And the court, because of COVID and the postal system issues that they identified, said, well, we'll make an exception this year and say they have to accept them up to 3 days later.
So that was, I was going to ask that. That was their justification, was it was COVID. There was no legal. It was just an issue of, okay, we're going to make an exception because of the coronavirus.
And because of alleged possible delays from the post office. The post office, basically, the way the statute was written, they gave a deadline of, I think, 3 days before Election Day for the ballots to be mailed. And then they had to also be received by Election Day at 8 p.m. And so Postal Service said, it could take up to 5 to 7 days for mail to arrive. So if you wait till the last possible day to mail it under the statute, it might actually get there in time. And so the court said, well, you're misleading people by saying they can mail it up to 3 days before. In fact, it might not be received in time if they wait that long. So, rather than direct that they issue a public announcement that you should really mail them sooner than that, they said, we'll just extend the deadline for receipt. And that, they rewrote the statute deadline.
Okay, and you know, again, you may not be familiar. We're used to this in Kansas because we have a situation here where the Kansas Supreme Court is constantly battling with. I've served in our Kansas legislature, and we are constantly having to deal with the Supreme Court misinterpreting, you know, shall means may, and having to deal with that all the time. Isn't this grounds for appeal? And wouldn't the Trump campaign have a darn good argument that all of those votes are illegal and therefore shouldn't count because they're in violation of state law?
Yeah, they'll have an excellent argument to the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the PA Supreme Court's decision. And I think the U.S. Supreme Court likely would rule in favor of the Trump campaign if the issue is accepted for certiorari. Basically, I suspect the U.S. Supreme Court's determination of whether to get involved will be whether it's potentially having a material effect on the outcome of the election. Now, they said they had about 60,000 votes come in after Election Day in the primary. And so you would expect more than that in a vote in an election, the general election, because there's so many more votes generally. You'd expect more to come in after the deadline. Well, I've heard comment to the media from Secretary of State Buchbar claiming there were only around 10,000 votes that actually came in late. So they're trying to minimize the issue, saying it's not a large number of votes. But I find that highly suspect. And, you know, that may have to do with part of the fact that they didn't segregate or properly count all the ballots that were received after the deadline, because it doesn't seem logical that there would be so few compared to the primary that were received after the deadline.
Well, and can they go back? I mean, how are they determining the ones that came in after? Weren't they supposed to segregate? I know there was a Justice Alito, issued, ordered them to segregate them. Is there a way, if they didn't properly, is there a way to tell the ones that came in after?
No, they'd be commingled if they weren't segregated. That'd be the exact problem. There'd be no way to undo the mess. And, you know, incidentally, the PA Supreme Court, when it ordered ballots to be accepted up to 3 days after, it refused to order the ballots to be segregated. And then when the Republicans appealed to the filed a petition for certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court, they sought intermediate relief from the court to require the ballots to be segregated. But Secretary Buchbar said, no, you don't need an actual order. I've already directed all the counties to do that. But then when they went and surveyed the counties to see if they were actually doing that, initially only like 25 of them confirmed they were segregating them. Eventually, I think about 63 out of the 67 counties claimed they did segregate the ballots. But by the time Justice Alito issued that order you just mentioned earlier, there had only been about 25. And so, you know, you had a situation where the Secretary of State was saying, well, don't worry, I told them all to segregate. And then when they went to try to confirm they were all segregating, you know, less than half were able to confirm they actually were doing it. And that's when the Supreme Court stepped in and said, look, you must segregate.
Well, and you've also had, I don't mean you, but Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh in particular, has also had some election day irregularities as well. You had some poll watching problems, some counting issues. I know at one point the Trump campaign had to get an order to get in to watch the ballot counting. And then the Democrat Party actually appealed to get that court order thrown out? I mean, what is going on in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so it's real important to have poll watchers have a reasonable ability to actually watch what's going on. And there's reasons for that. You know, the reason it's important is because Pennsylvania law for absentee and mail-in ballots says very clearly no mail-in ballot is valid where the outer envelope is not certified by the person voting. And also, if there's no secrecy ballot, there's supposed to be basically an envelope inside the envelope, a
right.
secrecy envelope. And if that's not there, it just comes with the ballot right in it. That's supposed to be set aside. Also, if the secrecy ballot has anything other than the signature of the voter, you know, something indicating go Trump or go Biden or whatever, some indication of which way they voted, that's also supposed to be disqualified. So there's the processing and the handling of those has a number of technical requirements. And if you as a poll watcher want to validate, are they doing it correctly or are they just counting as many ballots as they can? Who cares if they're technically and not in compliance with the law? We want to make sure Biden wins. Let's count all of them. overzealous counting of invalid votes could easily occur without anybody watching. And without anybody watching from a sufficient distance to see what you're doing. And from my understanding, cameras were not focused in such a way as to allow you to scrutinize either. So when, you know, Attorney General of Pennsylvania Josh Shapiro comes on and says, oh, we worried about there's cameras. Well, yeah, except if not if they're not positioned and focused enough to actually see what each person is doing with each ballot as they open the mail, which is really what needs to happen. You know, there's incentive, obviously, for Democrat poll workers to accept ballots that are not valid under the law, just in an effort to accept as many as possible, figuring Biden will get the bulk of the mail-in vote.
Well, and you're there on the ground in Pittsburgh. I've spoken to others who on the show and personally who've been on the ground in Pittsburgh who say there's quite a bit of irregularity. I know the Trump campaign has a number of lawsuits in Pennsylvania. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, is there, you know, obviously where there's smoke, there's fire. Do you think there's enough issues here to warrant challenging this election in Pennsylvania?
I mean, it appears they have affidavits and sworn statements and such that support the fact that these irregularities occurred and that people were not allowed to properly watch. What is the remedy for that? And, you know, you have to prove fraud by clear and convincing evidence. It's a very high standard to get the results overturned and say order a revote or, you know, it's hard to imagine how they're going to fix this, because if you opened all the mail without proper poll watchers, then how do you know if you improperly or properly process them? There's no way to really fix that.
Right.
So it's a mess. And I really don't know what courts are going to do with that. Are they going to try to invalidate the result? Are they in one extreme case where there was election fraud, I think it was in Georgia, the court actually ordered a special election. And it was for a down ballot type race. It wasn't for president. There was another election held after the one declared invalid due to voter fraud. Anything's possible, but as a practical matter, for him to successfully overturn a result where Biden, the official count is Biden's ahead by tens of thousands of votes, that would be radically unprecedented. You know, you see in fraud cases, you know, vote margins of much smaller amount and you're able to overturn a result. But with that big of a result difference, you know, courts are going to latch onto that and say, well, look, it doesn't make any difference to the outcome, so we're not going to order, you know, a new election or any kind of remedy, because you can't prove by clear and convincing evidence that the fraud was sufficient to actually have affected the end result.
Right.
And that's going to be their really big challenge. But this is the first election where we've had this much mail-in balloting happening. And, you know, even the New York Times acknowledges that mail-in ballots are the main locus of fraud in elections, and that there's fraught with potential. You know, so, for example, you could go into a nursing home and you could gather up all the ballots. You could confuse the residents into voting whatever way you want. You could pay people to vote however you want.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason they require an in-person voting. You're not allowed to do electioneering in the polling place. You're not allowed to look over someone's shoulder as they vote. That's anonymous. That's secret. That there's to be left alone. Well, now the polling place, due to massive mailing, is everyone's home and or apartment or you know,
right,
whatever,
yeah,
nursing home room. And so now you can have people go in, watch you vote, pay you to vote, pressure you to vote, threaten you to vote, persuade you to vote. You know, you're supposed to be able to vote in peace, you know, without anyone trying to make you vote one way or another. And, you know, who knows? You know, lots of that could have occurred and we'll never really be able to prove it.
Well, and, you know, you made that point about, yes, there may be tens of thousands of votes, and so it may not influence the outcome. But I do think it's still a fight worth fighting, because if we don't, we're going to allow the precedent. We're going to allow the cheat and allow the steal, and it may not impact the outcome. And Joe Biden may be the next president, but I still think he should fight this enough so that they learn their lesson and maybe they don't do it again. Because otherwise, they're just going to get away with it.
If they can prove violation of election laws and fraud, everyone guilty of that should be held accountable to the full extent of the law to reduce the amount of fraud that happens next time.
Yep,
you know, you'll never completely eliminate it. There'll always be it'll always happen probably on both sides in every election of significance. You know, there's just so much incentive. It's so easy to do, so easy to get away with that there'll always probably be some, but you got to do what you can to hold people accountable to create as much of a deterrent as you can.
No, that's exactly right. You got to nip it in the bud now, or it's just going to get worse the next time around. Greg, thank you again for joining us this evening. We appreciate you bringing us this story literally from, you know, the belly of the beast, from the ground. I appreciate it. Thank you for keeping them honest, brother. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on. Take care.
We'll take a quick break, and then State Senator Ty Masterson will join us to give us an idea what to expect out of the Kansas Senate after the November 3rd elections, and tell us about his campaign for Senate president. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.